There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Let's drive live. Let's talk after a couple of weeks' break. John Defterios joins us back on the line. John, here you go. Yasu.
See what I did? That's with the hint towards being in the Greek capital of Athens today, so I appreciate that.
It is. Nice to have you.
It's nice to hear your voice, Tim. I wish I spoke absolutely fluent Greek. Greek brethren get a little upset that I'm not fluent in Greek, but that's been a challenge.
I think we'll let you off. We need you in English at this particular moment. Let's start, John, with tensions in Syria. But take the perspective of influence of what we've seen unfold on energy markets, John.
Well, you know, we're above $70 a barrel, which is quite interesting. Now we're getting a narrative, Tim, where OPEC almost feels like their job's been completed, right, if they can hold this price. And you even hear rumblings of getting to $80 a barrel. I mean, think about where we've been in the last, you know, three years of getting to, you know, $27, $28, $29 a barrel. And this is a risk premium coming back in the market. So like a risk-on environment where you have to factor into the fact that in Syria, there's a lot of players involved in this, and many of them are energy producers, no fewer than Saudi Arabia or even Russia, right? The two major producers in the world all have a stake in stability in Syria with tensions there. The U.S. is a major producer. But one of the things I think that the market's not factoring in, this may be bubbling along, but it's not affecting supplies. I always find it's very interesting whether it's even Qatar because of the isolation and the embargo against Qatar. You know, oil and natural gas kind of stays out of the equation because it's very important to the economies, not only of the Gulf, but for Russia and the United States as well. So they try to leave energy out of the mix here. I also thought it was a very interesting window of time. We even saw, since I spoke to you last, the profits of Aramco in the first half of 2017 when we didn't enjoy these oil prices and revenues of $33 billion for 6 months. I mean, it outdoes everybody in the world. And we see players like ADNOC in Abu Dhabi moving more and more downstream, creating more concessions, going after more exploration because they think the demand is going to remain high. So what we have now is high demand, questions about security, but the major performers in the region innovating and making a lot of money at the game, much more profitable than they were before, and then doing the wise thing, going downstream as fast as possible into petrochemicals, more refining, more exploration, even in more expensive fields, because they feel a bit more confident about the future. Of course, nobody wants to see the tensions blow up, but there is a risk premium back into that price that we're talking about.
And John, you're in Greece on assignment for one square meter. What is the mood there 3 years after the huge economic crisis?
Yeah, Natalie, it's interesting. You know, one square meter is a property investment a segment that I produced for CNN, so we're here to shoot that. But when I came in 2015, it was to cover the economic crisis. We've seen the end of the eight-year recession, so growth of, say, 1.3%, which is not great for 2017, getting to 2%. But, I mean, this is an economy that lost a third of its economy. It was like the Great Recession of the 1930s for America. Today, they're in a budget surplus. The mood is lighter. We talk about a 5% VAT in the UAE. We're looking at a 24% VAT because of the debt crisis. They've raised the taxes, so that's not great. But there's this survival attitude, a very creative spirit in the air. The youth is kind of leaning on jobs generated from tourism and international visitors. These are people who have been studying abroad who have come back. And they're hoping to exit the bailout in August 2018, this summer, ahead of elections in 2019. So it's a very different environment. I wouldn't say a high-growth environment, but a good buzz in the area, no doubt about it, in Greece right now.
Is it like a, I don't know, is it a rebirth, John? Is that overstating it? The Berlin of the Mediterranean is a phrase that's being bandied around by some people. I just wonder if saying a rebirth is a step too far.
Well, I actually think it's fair, Tim. In fact, I was at a dinner last night with a couple of corporate finance and investment bankers, and they said, it does feel like the Berlin of the Mediterranean. So it's good that you brought that up. There's a kind of edgy art scene here. A lot of graffiti during the crisis, but then, international visitors are embracing it, saying, well, it's edgy, and there's an art scene percolating, and the graffiti is part of the landscape here. So you see pop-up restaurants, coffee bars, kind of shops related to kind of the cuisine of Greece, the kind of really high-end olive oils and soaps. And it's really a new generation taking hold. The Airbnb scene is unbelievable in areas that you would never thought of before. An area of Athens called Koukaiki is one of the top Airbnb destinations last year. This place on the other side of the Acropolis, really good art scene, outdoor cinemas, music scene that's going on. So it's gone really haywire in the last kind of 12 to 18 months, where the new generations found their way in different fields, not traditionally working for government or traditional industries, kind of survival industries, and they're making a go of it, despite the fact the unemployment rate's high and the growth is fairly mediocre. There's a whole kind of economy percolating out of crisis, which I think is interesting.
And just finally, John, what role do investors here in the Middle East have in the recovery? And I guess from the other side of things, you know, is there any sort of nervousness or any issues in terms of foreign investment coming in?
Well, you know, it's an interesting point, Natalie, because for one square meter, we did a lot of research. So we're going to interview this iconic resort called the Astir Palace, which was famous in the 60s and 70s and almost went into decay. It was bought by a Middle East consortium for about $600 million. They're going to, at the end of the day, put up about $700 million in terms of renovating it and the marina and a couple of hotels. The Four Seasons is going to be there. They're building a villa complex. There's a huge stretch of land at the old Hellinikon Airport, which is now closed and became a migrant camp after the 2004 Olympics. I remember that. They're paying about 7 billion euros for this property. It's going to be a huge mixed development. The UAE, particularly Abu Dhabi, is involved in this, together with the Chinese. And then if you go up the coast a little bit to the Port of Piraeus, the Chinese have taken, I think it's a 35-year lease, to use the Port of Piraeus to get into Eastern, Central, and Western Europe as a port hub, because most people think of Hamburg in the north as a dominant port, or Rotterdam, right? They're coming in from the south, very clever, using the crisis as a means to get a very good lease, hiring 1,500 Greeks, putting new cranes in there. So there's been a bit of worries like, oh, it's all being sold to the foreigners, but I think it's actually a refreshing change to have international investment and the conditions for international investment, which should lift the boat for everybody. So the only question mark, which you raised, which I think is a good point, there are worries now because of the defaults on properties, both industrial properties and home properties, and we're starting to see the auction business take off, you know, foreclosure sales. And there's worries that the Greek people suffer as a result. So they have to find a happy medium, not to have a fire sale, but to welcome the investment, take out the bureaucracy, make it easy. They're even creating e-platforms, and that's one of the things we're going to shoot for one square meter. So it's a change in mentality to let the international investor in. You just don't need to go overboard in doing so. Make sure it's a smooth transition to the election in 2019. What I mean is it doesn't become a political issue. They focus on the opportunity. And make sure that people don't suffer along the way. That's a tough game because it's been 8 years of recession and they're only now coming out of it, if that makes sense.
CNN's emerging markets editor, the Abu Dhabi-based John Defterios. Efaristo, John, I think that's the right word. Appreciate it.
Efaristo. Efaristo. Thanks, Tim.
Good
you
to
guys
talk
take
to
care.
You.
Nice
take
to
care.
Talk to you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.